And welcome everybody to the Chop Sports Daily live from the Flipping Made Easy Studios. I'm here by myself today because Dave, ladies and gentlemen, Dave bitched out. Dave couldn't make it. The swan song, the eulogy. I'm writing the Cowboys eulogy as we speak right now because they just couldn't get it done. I thought Dave was going to come here today to face the music, but I guess it's a solo show. We got myself, we got producer Dina in the house, and we also have Ashmir Fit sitting by my right for the first time in studio live. How do you feel about the Cowboys' loss? Ash doesn't have a mic. Oh, wait.
Now here's a playoff team that can't win a big game ever, if it ever. First of all, it's my first ever Chris Collinsworth slide in that I was definitely waiting for to do.
I've had several of those.
Yeah, well, I finally, you know, I listen, it is what it is. What's going on, everybody? So here we are. It's an exciting show, an exciting time to be here because misery does love company. And I know there was a lot of people that attacked me last night, which again, I deserve it, right? I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Anybody who came after me last night, specifically 49ers fans, there's a lot of things to be said about, like, Eagles, Giants, Washington fans that come in and they celebrate as if, like, their team just won the big game when Dallas loses. I think that's kind of corny. But again, it is what it is. We'll get into the game, obviously. But first and foremost, I'd be remiss to not say to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/chopsports, to support Chop Sports in a monetary way. You can also do a very easy thing and click subscribe and like on this video. We are live on YouTube. We're live everywhere else, Facebook, my Twitter. I told people that if they want the comments to be seen and everything to be heard and all your troll comments, bring it on YouTube. So definitely subscribe to that. I appreciate you guys being here.
You know what this face says, Dave?
What's his face say?
I don't want to do this, and I'm only going to do it once. I saved it for the show, but it's the I told you so face, Dave.
You've been warning me pretty much for now 19 weeks straight, maybe even prior to that, Mike McCarthy, right? So You've been bringing up, like, on this days on the Facebook, because Facebook does a wonderful thing. It allows you to go see how dumb you were, you know, from now
or
until.
In this case, how smart you were,
how ahead of your time you were, Gooch. So you had told me Mike McCarthy will be the reason why that no matter how much talent you have around the team, that things will go to shit. And at least you guys felt the joy of a Super Bowl despite Mike McCarthy, because you have Aaron Rodgers, you had guys like Clay Matthews balling out, you had a great defense. The Dallas Cowboys had a hell of a team. They got a lot of talent on that team, and we'll get right into it. So let's just bring that up, bring the Cowboy game. What are you laughing at already?
I'm just laughing
comments
at Sam.
I'm not going to put on the screen.
Sam Grasso already talking shit about Kyle's picks last week.
It was a rough NFL week for everybody involved. But the Cowboys, we'll start with the Cowboys. Usually we go in order of broadcast. But, I mean, look, everybody's waiting to see what is Dave going to say?
This was the only real good game. I mean, I guess you could say that the Raiders-Bengals game was a good game as well. But
yeah, we'll get into it.
This was the one.
This game in particular, obviously, like, leave it up to the Cowboys to be the only home team to lose. That was one of those things where people were like, well, going into this game, you would think that the Cowboys were dogs, according to the line, right? You would think that the Cowboys were going in here. Everybody I knew and saw were picking the 49ers. And I didn't know how to wrap my head around that, but I was just like, all right, listen, the 49ers are a good team. I'm not about to discredit the 49ers. They were going in. Before the matchup was set, I was sitting at my dad's house while the Niners were doing their thing with the Rams, making their comeback, right? I was at my dad's house for that, and he goes, this is the team I don't want to see. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I mean, they run the ball well. Their defense is good. Bosa's an animal. Like, Shanahan's a great coach. I don't want to see this team either. Then it happens. The matchup is set, and you're like, all right, I'd much rather have seen Kyler Murray for a second time. I'd much rather have seen McVay, maybe, right? But the 49ers, they're good. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not a good football team. I mean, the 49er fans that are excited about this win, you have every reason to be excited because you get one more week. And that's all I'm saying is one more week of football, because now you're not running into a Dak Prescott. You're running into somebody else. Somebody else who I consider is the greatest quarterback maybe of all time. And that's Aaron Rodgers. So for you guys to get excited, I get it. It's another week of football. If Dallas would have won, we didn't have to see Aaron Rodgers next week. We would have went and saw Tom Brady, which again, I've told a lot of people around me. I said, look, if the first round was the Cowboys and the Bucks and we lost to Tom Brady, it's almost like, all right, well, you lost to Tom Brady. So did everybody else, you know? But to lose to Jimmy G and that offense, it left me a little unsettling. The Cowboys had a lot of chances to win this game. Plenty of chances, right? The slow starts, overall. Like,
they couldn't protect Dak in the first half at all.
Which is nuts, because it wasn't even really Bosa. And then Bosa goes out. Yeah,
it's not much Bosa, but Bosa taking up. In the first half particularly, Bosa was getting eaten up by the double team.
There's so much to really dive into, and Anand just brought up something. Did you see the fake punt?
Yeah.
Did you see the play after that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that is key to... When I say that Mike McCarthy and Bones Fossil think they're the smartest guys in the room, that's them proving that. Like, oh, wait until you see this. Not only are we going to fake a punt, but we're going to line up as if we're going to make another play, right? So the Niners have to burn a timeout to get their defense out there. And guess what? Shanahan was sitting over there like this. Go ahead. No. Snap like it.
You burn the timeout. No,
snap it. Go. Because I got Noah Brown in the backfield. Snap it. Like, that was never going to be a play, and the fact that they thought it was gonna was burning me up. I'm like, what? And not only that, you wasted a minute of game time.
Down.
Not that the
clock mattered then, but still, you know, in hindsight,
it always matters.
That Look, minute would have been great to have at the end.
Yeah, no shit. But what I'm saying is
that was
is
the
this.
First half, though, no?
No, a fake punt? Yeah. That was at the end, towards the end. And they're trying to make a comeback. When they even lined up the punt, and then there was a penalty.
Am I drunk? I didn't even drink yesterday.
I didn't drink yesterday either. But you know who did drink? Brett and Keith Ernst. And I'm pissed off at those guys.
I think Nick Schein drank yesterday, too.
Nick Schein did drink a little bit. And that's another thing. Look,
Nick Schein's in the comments.
I hope he's in the comments because it's very – I'm not going to sit here and bitch and whine at what you did. In fact, I didn't see what you did until you reminded me over and over. Like, did you see my video? Like, okay, yes. And then finally I watched it. And then guess what? I'll never get that time back in my life. And I'll also never get that vision out of my eyes to see your ass doing a snow angel because the Cowboys lost.
Not his ass, like, figuratively. Like, it was his actual
His whole ass was on display. And it was disgusting. And I leave nothing. Listen, Nick Schein, I know, has no shame whatsoever. And that's something to be, I guess, maybe commendable about him. Guys that have that kind of moxie, sure, great. But like, again, you guys, you're welcome. Your guy, the narrative is, in regards to the reactions to the games, it's very corny to celebrate a team's loss like that, like when you're not a fan of the team. If you're a Giants, Eagles, or Washington football team fan, and you watch the Cowboys get eliminated, yes, Go ham. Go nuts. Because look, I'll tell you right now, I was the first one to say, like, the Eagles rested their starters for this shit, right? And I watched the Bucks kick their ass, right? And I'm like, this is great. But here's the thing. Here's what I would not do, okay? I know one guy on Twitter. I know him for, because he's a friend of everybody else, the group of TJ, Shrieks, Ibby, right? My boy Marcus, big, big Eagles guy. If the Cowboys were to beat the Eagles, I'm not saying like, at Marcus, how you like that? Like, I don't do that. That's not my style. I'll never be that guy. I will simply say, yo, Eagles, suck it, right? Or I will say, like, yo, Eagles fans, suck it, right? But I'll never off one person. And I got tagged in a bunch of shit yesterday, which led me to go nuts. I went off of my best friend because he was like, he tagged me on something on Facebook or Instagram. And I was like, are you out of your mind right now? I literally was like, are you fucking nuts? And he's like, oh, dude, I took it down. Don't worry about it. I was like, but like, you would think that you could have tagged anybody else, but you tagged the one guy that you know was going to get rubbed the wrong way. Tag everybody else under the sun. I don't care. What you guys do with the Cowboys loss is, again, it's disturbing how you guys act, but it is what it is. The Cowboys are done now, right? The season is over, and what some people close to the situation comes from this is productive Sturch is back, meaning I don't have to worry so much about a Cowboy game. Now I can get knee-deep in the playoffs. We got some great matchups coming up. I'm a football fan too, ladies and gentlemen. If you thought I was going to sit here, bitch and whine and cry and be like, don't worry, next year, we got it. It's all us. I'm not going to do that because I don't believe in that. The Cowboys broke me yesterday. They broke something in my brain, meaning no longer will I get up for the player individual stuff. Like, ha, I'm so happy that Dak Prescott broke Tony Romo. Or, ha, I'm so glad that Zeke Elliott rushed for 1,000 yards. Or, yes, I can't believe that the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going to clip this part and play it for you next year.
Or next year when I'm all hyped up. And stuff. Listen, I'm going to get hyped No. I'm not saying that, like, the fanhood goes away, right? I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that I no longer will get excited about this team like I did this year, because the word special got thrown around like the word love when guys are sliding into DMs. You know what I mean? Like, I love you. I love the Dallas Cowboys, okay? But look, what they did to me this year was far worse than anything I've experienced. 2007 is the closest thing I could say, because that was when Romo and that offense was clicking and we were about to beat the shit out of the Giants, but then Romo went to Cancun on a vacation the week before, and then they got starts the week before that against the Ravens in the final game at Texas Stadium regular season, and they got crushed, right? That was how I felt. Last night, the team, like, there's so much to talk about, but like the Cowboys as a whole, are we willing to give up on a guy like Dak Prescott? I don't know. Like, the contract doesn't affect me. I'm not sitting here like, oh, I can't believe they paid him all that money. Dak Prescott's contract is going to be the 10th, 12th highest paid contract in 3 years, 2 years from now. Everybody else is going to surpass him, right? So miss me with that, with the contract stuff, because it's irrelevant, right? I'm more worried about what you told me to be worried about, Gooch, and that's the coaching.
Yeah.
Like, what we saw last night with decisions and thing, like, just bro, weird.
Let's just talk about the game now. I know you had to get that off your chest.
Yeah, of course.
I let you get it off your chest. But now we could talk a little bit about Mike McCarthy. We could talk about 14 seconds to go calling a quarterback draw. You could talk about Kellen Moore. I know we got a lot to unravel because I think that there's possible changes in Dallas, which we're going to get to. But just breaking down the game itself, the first half, they couldn't protect Dak. The offense never got a chance to get going. Shanahan made the smart decision, I think, on 4th-and-1, which you see a lot of coaches right now doing the opposite. It's 4th-and-1.
Analytics, you have gotta go. Right.
You want to get the first down so you could get a touchdown. Shanahan's very smart. Robbie Gould never missed a field goal in the postseason.
Right.
Take the 3 points. You're up 13-0 now. Points. And now you're up 2 scores against a team that, for San Francisco, they play really well with the lead. Even though they did kind of blow it at the end, that's the game plan that you want the 49ers to implement. They're not going to play well if they're having to come from behind. So getting the early lead was important. Building a 2-score lead was important. And I think at the end of the game, Dallas needing the touchdown and not the field goal, that could have been the difference in the game. So hats off to Shanahan, because, again, this isn't the first time that Shanahan has outcoached Mike McCarthy. It's happened multiple occasions. You could date it back to the Packers losing the NFC Championship to the Falcons, and he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons. So it dates back to then. Mike McCarthy, I think he's just inept when it comes to being up against the upper echelon in this league.
How, like, first of all, the Cowboys had no business with 40 seconds left, right? Debo doesn't get the first down. They remeasure. First of all, how many years did that take to get done with the game?
Yeah.
It was the longest that was stretch of all time. And if you're a Cowboys fan, I was in my kitchen for a second, and I was like, I was more content when the Cowboys were down by friggin' 16. I was like, it's over.
It took like 4 hours for the game to end, and then it ended so abrupt.
Yeah.
The way it ended was insanity to me. I know that there was a lot of people, Kyle included, trying to flame the ref. Look,
all right,
you could talk about the refs all you want. Granted, they didn't maybe call the greatest game. I think that's what we come to expect in the NFL.
Well, we saw that across the board.
Well, you saw that across the board, exactly. Right. And really what it comes down to is nobody in the world, including the ref, who is now probably 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage when the ball was snapped, for Dak to take off 15 yards up the field.
65 yards, that guy had to do a sprint, right? And then on top of that, this is what bothers me. It bothers me so much when guys don't know the rules of the game, right? Dak knew. He had to have known. If he didn't, then that's on him. He had to have known that the referee has to touch the ball, set the ball, all this other shit. He thought he was going to get away with telling his center, hey, man, just snap it. Like, you can't, right? The Cowboys also shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. They had a 2-minute drill prior to that where they could have got it done, and Dak Prescott did not get it done.
Yeah.
Incompletions left and right, bad passes, bad reads. Dak played piss poor.
So while we have the graphic up, I'm going to ask you, does that mean, we'll go back to the Dak point after, does that mean that Mike McCarthy might have coached himself out of a job in Dallas? I believe he might have.
With that last call, when the Cowboys got the ball back with 40 seconds left, and the 49ers defense knew that they were going to be playing the sidelines, yet they didn't even bother covering the sidelines. It was bink, bink, bink down the field. Schultz, everybody getting involved there. CeeDee Lamb for a second, which, by the way, Jesus Christ, you know, the hype that I gave CeeDee Lamb was just a little too much smoke. I think he's still good, but I can't compare him to guys like Jefferson and Chase anymore. I'm just not going to do it. I'll get excited that we have a guy like
that's
him.
That's not exactly a knock on CeeDee.
It's not CeeDee's a knock, a good but he's player. Just like,
he is
who
he is. But Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
Thinking that CeeDee Lamb was like a top three wide, like forget it, it's gone. That last drive with the 40 seconds, they're getting out of bounds. You know, you have a shot to get another 10. There's 14 seconds left. You have a shot for another out route if you want to get that close. But what they decided to do was run a quarterback draw. Here's the problem, right? Obviously, the call itself. Kellen Moore makes the call. Mike McCarthy says, yep. Everything with their all, how both of those guys were on the same page with a call like that. McCarthy, if he had any moxie, he should have turned to Kellen and goes, what? You know, like, what did you just call? No.
Talking about the quarterback draw.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was called and agreed on.
Not only that, according to McCarthy's press conference, that was practiced often.
If I'm
in practice, if I'm the quarterback, if I'm anybody, I'd be like, no, we're never running this play in the game. I hope you guys know that, right?
Here's
no timeouts? Are you fucking kidding me?
Here's the thing. You don't. That play is designed for somebody to run for 10 yards, slide, set up, spike. You get another, you live to see another down, right?
Yeah.
Prescott is that guy where he's like, but I have these extra 3-4 yards. I know I can get them. So he did that, and he ran out the clock, and that was it.
They would have been better off throwing two Hail Marys.
Correct. That was the worst way to end a football game. You know what I mean? Like, not even like, here's the Hail Mary, it's up, and oh, it's deflected, and the Niners win. No, we couldn't even get a playoff, and that right there shows the ineptitude of this coaching staff. So as far as the future of this coaching staff, here's the thing. Jerry Jones left Jason Garrett in that seat for over a decade, and we had multiple seasons end on a crazy win. There's no catch, right? Then Rodgers dices us up again in Dallas, right? So a couple times we've had these heartbreaking losses, and back comes the next year, fight, fight, fight. We're going to fight, right? And then finally they make the conscious decision to move on. If Dallas fans, do you actually think that Jerry Jones is going to pull the trigger this quick?
I do.
No shot.
Dallas fans might not think that, but when it comes down to the situation that they have now, it's a little more unique than the Jason Garrett situation. They didn't have a guy on the staff. Jason Garrett was the Kellen Moore.
Yes, so that, again. So
that's my point. Jason
that was
Garrett
premature.
Was the Kellen Moore. Mike McCarthy was not the Jason Garrett / Kellen Moore. Right now, Kellen Moore is a head coaching candidate, if not the most prime head coaching candidate in the league. He's in the top three. You got to imagine he's definitely getting a job within the next week or so. I don't think Jerry is going to let Kellen Moore walk in favor of Mike McCarthy.
This is what happened. When Jason Garrett was hired, little history lesson for those who don't know, Jason Garrett was only hired and swung right into the head coaching role because the Baltimore Ravens had an offer on the table. So we want Jason Garrett as our new head coach. And Jerry was like, nah.
Same exact case.
Kiss my Texas ass. That's not going to happen.
I could easily see that move happening by the end of this week.
That would be, when I tell you this,
don't be surprised.
I said there's multiple writers that I credit online on Twitter that I actually can consider serious. And multiple people said, well, this called game offensively just lost Kellen Moore the opportunity to coach anywhere else. So you're telling me that the Dallas Cowboys are like, well, that's good because he's going to be our next guy. That's garbage.
I don't think it costs Kellen Moore anything. He's not the head coach. I think the X's and O's and what he's done all year, that's more telling than this. This is on the head coach, point blank. The 14 penalties, that's on the head coach. You could point
discipline
to individual
football.
Players.
Discipline
but,
football.
But when you look at it all as a whole, it's the head coach is responsible for the plays that are being called. You could say I'm the coordinator, this, that, and the other. But when it comes to the combination of the two, there was reports coming out earlier in the week, which might have been bullshit. It might have been wolf tickets that if the Cowboys fell short of playoff expectations, that there could be changes.
That was another report that went out there. I'm like, you got.
I'm not sitting here and saying that's. But usually, when there's smoke, there's fire in these types of things.
Well,
when it comes to head coaches, players, it's a different story.
Because Anand Deshar coming in saying Rappaport stated McCarthy likely not fired, and that's why I feel too. I feel like he's not going anywhere. So that is that a problem for the Cowboys?
Well, yeah, it might be. It is, because Mike McCarthy without Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore, I think that could be an issue. The coaching staff, if Mike McCarthy isn't getting fired, then those two are definitely gone.
Correct.
Because Dan Quinn, like I said, he's going to take that Denver job.
Probably, if he's really in line for it. And I tried my best not to look at all the comments, and I do want to interact with people as we go, but there was like trading Diggs talk. I don't know who brought that up, but just Christ. Like, I don't know who brought that conversation up, but you should be ashamed of yourself. But yes, Diggs was put on skates last night. We saw it. There was one play where I was like, holy shit.
We
got
to talk about Debo. I know that we talked a lot of Cowboys, but let's give credit where it's due.
And the credit
this
is due.
This dude is just really good at football.
The touchdown he scored looked effortless.
I think he's one of the best talents in the league history. We've never seen anybody do this before, and I know that that might be giving a little bit too much credit because it's early in his career, but for him to be able to line up to start the game, run in between tackles, and he's also one of the most talented pure wideouts in football, where he could line up as the number one on the outside, he could go in the slot, he could hand him the ball on a third and inches, and he's going to get you them tough yards. Dude is
just a beast. They need to seriously consider changing his number to like something in the 20s and the 30s. He is a running back who can catch the ball. He is Alvin Kamara of the new age. Right? And he might be better than Alvin Kamara overall.
I think that Kamara is just a special talent, but this guy's just more versatile. He's better.
And Kamara, somebody brought it up earlier saying that if for whatever reason Debo and the 49ers trip up, the Packers trip up, then you got to give the MVP to Debo.
They must
The MVP's been decided already.
Been voted.
It's been voted. It's done. So like they'll release that information at the end of the year. But
Debo, playoffs, Debo. I'm going to have my hands full with Debo next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking forward to
Kyle,
it.
But. If Kyle's the Mr. Adamant on the Packers defense being shit, then you will have your hands full. The difference is, Gooch.
They're not.
Here's the difference. You got Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
The difference maker.
The Cowboys don't have Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Honestly, not to talk about the Packers, but Kyle doesn't know what he's talking about with the Packers defense.
Sometimes moving I feel on like, from that. I'm just going to keep my thoughts to myself on that one. But I can go on and on.
He'll be betting Green Bay next week.
Yeah, of course he will. I can go on and on about the Cowboys. And I know a lot of people are tuning in for those reasons to see me go on and on about how bad the Cowboys played that game. The fact that you guys didn't show up to the Dallas Cowboys, if you didn't show up. And here's one thing I do want to address, because it did happen last night. As the Cowboys players were leaving the field, here's my problem, and I said this to you. When that referee, who, by the way, has a very, very punchable face, very punchable. I wanted to mount him and pound him in the dust, right? Just boom, 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 right? So, but anyway, the game is over. How fast did he book it?
I mean, I would have done the same thing,
though. He booked it, right? Because he doesn't want any reviews or anything like that. They're not going to go over anything in depth. This game is over. The Cowboys fans out in Texas decided to start throwing shit onto the field. Now, that is very, to me, I always lived in this headspace that the Cowboys fans in Texas were nothing compared to the Cowboys fans in New Jersey and the Cowboys fans anywhere else. Because they were too lackadaisical, not giving a shit. I remember being out there for a Giants game. Jason Pierre-Paul with his nub freaking blocked the field goal and the Cowboys lost the game. I was inconsolable. I was in the fourth row at the uprights. And like I had Cowboys fans knocking me on the back. I'm like, don't worry, man. We played a great game. We're going to get them next year. Don't even worry about it. I'm like, I'm sick, right? So like I know how I feel about Cowboys games, right? But like for these guys to start throwing shit, I'm not going to even remotely condone that kind of shit, but the problem I have is what Dak Prescott said at the end of the night. They're throwing shit. Dak Prescott said, I feel embarrassed for that. Like, that's not a good look. We try our best. We do the jobs that we do. And then somebody came out and said, well, I think the referees were the targets. And Prescott basically said, oh, well, then credit to them. They're good shit. Like, what, Dak?
He lost the Walter Payton Man of the Year
in one moment.
I will admit that I did get that comment from Ken Palman, who's very active, and I guess he's back. He's all out of Facebook jail because he's been commenting the last couple of days.
Okay. It was very, very shitty scene in Dallas. I have security friends that work there who said that it was a danger zone. Like, they were throwing bottles, and according to one, my boy Jay said they were wrapped pickles. I don't know if that was a thing, but sure, you want to wrap a pickle and throw it? Go for it. But, like, I don't condone any of that shit. It was very Philadelphia-like. It was very Jets-like. The Jets fans get nasty with their people. That's a different fan base, man. And the Cowboys aren't that because they don't actually show that much passion. Like, do I want to, like, credit them for being mad? You can be mad. Just don't be a douche. Yeah. Don't throw shit onto the field.
Don't do shitty things and don't condone shitty things. It's a lesson for all of you Cowboys fans.
To you, Dak.
Don't be an ass.
You're a good guy. I know for a fact that Prescott will more than likely come out on record today in his closing arguments. It's like a court case.
Mike McCarthy might have some.
Yeah, his closing argument, his closing press conference for the year. I'm sure he'll say, like, look, in the moment, I was trying to make light of a situation and I shouldn't have said what I said. That's more than likely what Dak's going to do going into the offseason, yes, in which they go into the sunset and we don't see him for a little while. I'm talking about the Cowboys as a whole. And to me, thank God, because I need my life back a little bit. Because the Yankees are on a lockout, right? The Rangers, don't get me wrong, Rangers and the Knicks, they're playing well, so I'm excited about that. I'll get into it. But in any event, the Cowboys obviously are done. Now, we'll get more into the 49ers and the Packers matchup as the week goes on.
I do want to answer one question.
Sure.
Yes, Bakhtiari and Jair are both playing this week, and Za'Darius Smith practiced all week, too. So there's a chance that we get all three of the Pro Bowl, all-pro talents back.
So, and that's a good thing. And you know what? Bakhtiari might not have his hands full like he thought he would.
Yeah, there's a chance that the 49ers are going
to
be very
depleted. We don't know. I mean, when you drop yourself to a concussion protocol, he was literally ruled out with a concussion. Meaning,
yeah. No, he's
got a five-step process to get back to play next week.
It's a short week. And also, was it Fred Warner?
Fred Warner's out, or at least
I don't know if he's out, but
he was kind of running around the sidelines.
He's going to get back today. We'll see how that plays out. But the point spread opened at 5.5, so I don't know that the injuries are really affecting the line just yet. But if they get ruled out, I would imagine
it
might shoot up a little bit.
Ibby, joke of the day. Shanahan once again stopped Quinn from winning a Super Bowl. and that's coming from a Falcon fan. So he knows how it is to feel broken because he doesn't know what the hell is going on with that team. And now I don't know what's going on with the Cowboys because every year you get hyped, you get excited, you get all these players. And like if people are watching this on Twitter or the people that are coming in from Twitter, from my Twitter, I said it yesterday, I'm so tired of the mediocrity acceptance out of Dallas fans. Meaning the accolades of I'm so excited we have Micah Parsons for the next 4 years. I'm so excited Diggs had 11 interceptions. I'm so excited. All these personal things, they don't mean shit, guys. They don't mean shit because here we are 20 plus years later, 26 to be exact, years later from anything, anything.
And Dak proved that personal accolades don't mean anything by him forfeiting the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. See, he's already on the same page as you, Dave.
Brian Casey putting in a shirt idea. Don't do shitty things and don't condone shitty things. Should be a Chop Sports t-shirt. I like that. I like that a lot. Do you guys think the Cowboys win the NFC East again?
Was that me?
No, that was Brian Casey. You said it, yeah. Glow says, listen, from what I saw, and we'll get into the other game too, from what I saw, based on talent alone, the Cowboys should run the East for the next couple of years, right? They have more talent than everybody else. I don't care how many freaking first-round picks you got. The Giants are in a coaching search. The Eagles, I mean, we'll get into the Eagles, but they don't look like they belonged anywhere near that game. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not trying to deflect. I'm just, that's the analysis of that game. We'll get into it. But we've spent 27 minutes on the Dallas Cowboy game, and I knew that was going to happen, and I knew that the crowd would be salivating, bloodthirsty crowd waiting for me to go off on people, and I'm not going to do that. Congratulations to the 49ers. Congratulations to the 49ers fans. I think you guys well deserve this game. You played better than Dallas. You out-coached Dallas. You out-fanned Dallas. A lot of red in that crowd. I don't give a shit what anybody said. It was 75-25, 80-20. Bullshit. There was a lot of red. And maybe it wasn't the smartest decision to call it a whiteout, considering now the red will definitely stand out against the white. So you knew how many. Like, if you mix in a couple blues, like, maybe the red doesn't stand out as much. But, like, everybody wore white, and everybody saw the 49ers fans out there. But yeah, I mean, look, you guys got another week of football to celebrate. So celebrate it. And I, you know, guys like Evan, Greg, all the 49er fans, the guys that came, your brother, who, by the way, said something nice to me, like Kasim, he's a fucking jerk off, but he gets another week. You know what I mean? Like those guys are friends.
I owe them all a playoff elimination. Honestly, this is the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour starting now. I'm pulling for Tampa because we got the 49ers, and then Tampa back-to-back, hopefully, and we could just right all the wrongs that took place the last
Shriek Elite coming in saying, for the first time ever, I approve and vote for more Cowboys talk. Look, there's not much to say,
We're shutting it down for now.
There's not much to say.
We did 30 minutes on Dallas, right? We knew that was happening, but there's still five more games, really, to get into because we got to break down the game we got tonight.
Again, my final thoughts, again, congratulations to the Niners. You get another week of football. You get a Saturday night extravaganza in which I'll be tuning in, and being that I have no dog in the the race. Guess who's getting drunk that night? That's me. I'm going to be drinking my ass off knowing that the team isn't in my team isn't in this game. And I could have said, well, we could have been in this round. It doesn't matter. It's over. All right. And for the Dallas Cowboy fans that keep holding on to hope going forward, just rinse and repeat, guys. Rinse and repeat. Just meaning like it's over. We lost. Let's get hyped. Let's get excited. Let's get let down. Let's fall on our face. Let's get hyped. Let's get excited. It's a circle. You know who I got a call from right before the show? Dave LaGreca. He is the reason why, by the way, this whole thing exists, because he was my broadcasting teacher for me. Relax. Like, who are you talking about? I bought all this shit. No, I'm talking about the fact that I'm on the air and I get to do the cool shit like this. Dave LaGreca called me. He's a big Cowboys guy, but he told me he read my post last night and he said in 2007, that's when he got broken. And just kind of says now going into seasons, he just watches it, roots for it, excited, great, but never gets too high.
I saw this coming, and I'm not sitting here saying, I'm just very experienced with playoff losses, particularly the last 20 years of my life. Mm-hmm. The Packers losing the playoffs every year, I've learned to handle it a lot better. And you see how I am. I just don't react to anything. Last year in the NFC Championship, I had a good 20 minutes where I just tried to crawl into the deepest hole in earth and I couldn't find it. So then I just got up and just dealt with it.
I think it depends on who you're around. You know, last night with the game happening the way it was and the way it played out, I had my brother, I had my dad, I had my wife, I had my kids, I had everybody that was there watch that game with me. And I was just like, I'm right. Good. Yeah. My daughter, my son, we dressed them all up. Like, it was fun. They were there for me at the end. They said, sorry, everything. And my dad said the same thing that he's been saying to me for 26 years. Ready? Next year. So, and you know what? He's right.
Aaron Rodgers isn't going to retire, guys. Relax.
Oh, everybody's on. Okay, well.
All right, so.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
What was the next game?
I'm going to enjoy the rest of the playoffs. In fact, somebody that unfortunately, it's like death around the whole except for the Green Bay Packers.
Let's get all this the fuck out of the way. Raiders. Because I don't want to deal with none of your negativity, people, because we got some games to win. And honestly, the Raiders, they looked a lot better than I thought they would.
Before we get into TJ, fine fan of Chop Sports. He's the one that said that this is going to be the greatest show of all time because everybody's going to be tuning in watching me. He goes, let's just talk about how good RJ Barrett is and how NBA Jam hot right now. Yes, we'll get more into the Knicks as we go. But yes, we're going back to the Raiders here. Now, there's a lot to digest with this one. One thing I will say is Joe Burrow, good at football. Ja'Marr Chase, better at football. You know what I mean? Like that being the tag team going forward, that's a beautiful thing to watch, right?
And they didn't even really like play to their capabilities, to be honest. They didn't.
It was so, I was texting my brother and I was like, so pitch and catch. You know what I'm saying? It was like, soup, soup, soup. There was nothing there for them to even worry about. The Raiders secondary was in over their heads and they didn't know what the hell was going on. But let's address the elephant in the room. The whistle play. Right? Yeah. I mean, everybody's talking about it, and everybody, obviously, because, again, the rule is, there's no arguments to be made here. There's no argument. Here's the rule. When there is an inadvertent whistle, you do the play over. You don't review it. You don't see the result. You don't find out the guy stepped out of bounds.
I agree that they should have redone it, because that's the rule.
It's the rule, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm saying I agree, it's nothing to agree or disagree with. Like, I don't have a problem with them not overturning that, though, because I think the play, went down the way it would have went down.
It was going to be a touchdown regardless.
If they did take that touchdown off the board, we're having a completely different conversation about another team getting screwed, and they would have been getting screwed a lot worse than the Raiders did because they gave up the touchdown. Nobody stopped playing. They did hear the whistle while the play was happening, but it was already done.
But how about not let that be a righteous win for us that was overturned?
The problem is I have with the NFL officials is the fact that they were trying to back it up that, like, no, that whistle came later. Like, what?
Oh, we all heard it.
You We're not, you know, we are capable. I'm not going to use the D word. We're capable of hearing it.
No, that was a shitty explanation. That guy's done, apparently. Like, he's not going to get...
His whole crew got starched for the rest of the year.
They should just be done in general. Maybe that's a stretch, but...
Well, no, here's the thing.
They got to hold these guys more accountable.
Well, that's the thing. With the NFL, you have trillions of dollars. They put it all into marketing. They put it all into Nickelodeon. They put it all into all this shit. Put your money into full-time referees. Train these guys right as if that's their full-time job. None of these guys are full-time referees. None of them. They're all lawyers and business owners and brokers and all this other shit. And on Sundays, they put on stripes and they know the rule book. Bullshit. You got to write these things. And I'm so tired of the, oh, well, the league sent a letter. And they said they got it wrong.
Yeah, I have a stack of letters from the league on my desk.
What does that do? The Raiders fans supposed to be like, ha, got it. Got the letter. We win. Like, no, you lose still. So, again, the apologies are not worth anything.
But like I said, I think it was more of like the Bengals should have won the game, and they did win the game. I don't think that the Raiders necessarily got robbed out of a win. You know, and
we got a ref in here. Warman 32 agreed, and I'm a ref. All right,
The Raiders didn't get the game stolen from them like the Saints did a couple years ago. You know, the Bengals made a play in that situation. They didn't deserve to get the play taken away because the ref fucked up. So while the ref did mess up egregiously and then did it again to like fix his first mistake, they did get it right. And I know that they get it wrong, but by getting it wrong, they got it right.
As a resident Raiders fan here, like, I completely accept the loss. Like, I don't think that we should have won that game. I did watch the last three plays with, like, tears in my eyes, and then I moved on. Yeah, it is what it is.
Listen, with this play in particular, right, it's not reviewable. The play is dead. So, yes, did anybody actually stop in the end zone when they're like, whistle, huh? Right? No, they all played, and the kid caught the ball, touchdown. Yeah. That's a wrap. But the whistle, that's a dead ball, man.
I'm not going to crucify Derek Carr because
Go ahead.
I'm not going to crucify Derek Carr. He took that team to another level this year that they didn't deserve to be on. But this just goes to show you, this is the Derek Carr. This is what you get from the middle of the pack guy, where Derek Carr plays well in the fourth quarter. He's actually probably one of the league's best. If you look at the numbers over his career, he's actually really good, right? But it's just hard to get over the hump with a guy like Derek Carr, and you see why. And it's not necessarily that he did bad at the end of the game, but for the first three quarters, it's just little mistakes here and there. The terrible pick, like, that was just bad, and he got away with a few more.
Did you see the coverage on that last play?
Yeah,
he got mugged. He got mugged. You know, so like, let's if we're calling penalties and calling all sorts of weird shit,
fair.
He got mugged, and like,
I didn't get to watch that entire game because I was working at the time, but I did watch a lot of it, and I did like the whole NFL replay where I didn't get the whole. The announcers talking about everything in between plays. It was just an abridged version of the game. But I don't, just looking at it that way, I felt like the Bengals pretty much did have their way with them at times.
I'll tell you right now.
They were the better team.
Glow comes in, says, do you think Justin Herbert would have won this game? I say no. I say the Bengals were going to win this game regardless.
Would Justin Herbert have won the game for the Raiders?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many factors there. Maybe.
I don't think
so. You know,
so.
He might have thrown two more picks.
There were people susceptible. The Chop Sports Facebook group talking about Derek Carr being washed. You guys aren't watching the game, man. You're not watching the season.
I know who that is. He's actually my Pop Warner football coach.
I heard.
Long-time Raider fan.
Through the grapevine, I heard. Yeah. He's the one who got you the killer instinct that you got.
Yeah, long-time Raider fan.
He's a Raider fan?
Yeah, actually. So he has every right to say what he wants
to say. Fine, then I didn't know that. I thought he was just coming from the outside. Yeah, no.
He's a Raider
fan
He's a legit fan. He's not, and he does know football. He's a coach. He's a good dude. Trust me. But he might have been a little out of pocket with the Derek Carr's washed. I don't think he's washed. You put a better quarterback on the Raiders, they're clearly a better team. But the Raiders don't have that great of a roster. Their defense played above their heads this year. And their offense, they dealt with what they dealt with Ruggs. That took a lot away from them. And he was able to right the ship for them with the head coach change, which I think in ways might have helped Derek Carr. But yeah, let's pump the brakes.
Yeah,
Derek Carr being washed.
Yeah, I think Derek Carr was the reason why the Raiders even had a shot at being here. You know, like, tell me the Raiders would have been a playoff team with Marcus Mariota as their starting quarterback. Not me.
Yeah.
He's good for splash plays, but not me. Derek Carr's a leader. He's been there for a long time. I compare Derek Carr to a lot of the guys that are just, they're right there, but they can never get over that hump, and that's unfortunate. I'll make this comparison right now. Derek Carr is Tony Romo. Okay. Good quarterback, slings the ball, wins games, But at the end of the day, at the end, he throws that pick that everybody's like, fuck, why did you throw that ball? You know, like that's how I he's a winner. He's won games. Look,
we got a question in the comments. It's leading us right to. We have two more things to talk about.
There we go. Yeah, bring that up.
The futures of these teams or the future of the Raiders particularly.
So basically, this is did he do a good enough job, right, to be the next head coach of the Raiders, right? I personally, when you're an interim coach, the expectations are super low. They're like, get through the year, we'll see what happens at the end. But more than likely, there's going to be a coaching search, and that job is going to be vacant, right? I don't think that job's going to be vacant. I think this guy's done enough to be the head coach there. He's a player's coach. Everybody loves him. He stays. The Raiders are in a direction now where they need a culture change, considering what they just went through with Gruden, with Ruggs, with all this bad shit. They rallied around this guy. Why would they say, all right, bro, you're out? Like, go ahead, tell me why. Because for me, that's a bad PR move, too, with the Raiders.
I don't think that the Raiders are necessarily interested in good PR moves ever in the history of their franchise. I think that you look at the Gruden hiring and what they did, they signed him to, what, it was a 10-year
deal.
$100 million. Like that was a splash thing. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe they won't go that big, but there's a name floating around, Jim Harbaugh. I think that the
Jim Harbaugh to Dallas.
That's not going to happen. If Jim Harbaugh makes himself available for that job, he's getting it. And I know that Bisaccia did well. Maybe they'll offer him a position on the staff.
I mean, he's on the staff. He was a special teams guy.
But typically what happens when you bring in a new head coach, he brings in his staff.
Yeah,
they might keep some guys on, but that's going to be the head coach's decision. Maybe they'll offer Bisaccia the special teams job back. I don't think that he should take it, obviously, you know, move on. He coached himself into a better position. Go somewhere else and get paid a little bit more. But look, he's not a head coach. He hasn't been. He was the right guy for this job. I think he took this team as far as he was going to take them. And it's a nice feather in his cap, but that's all it is at this point. You've seen this in other situations before. He's a stopgap guy. I don't think that going into next season, whatever moves the Raiders want to make, are you really looking at their head coach as a strength? You know, he's a good coach.
I felt like they played for this guy.
I put it similar to the Dan Campbell situation where Dan Campbell is a perfect coach for the Lions. But if they ever get to the point where they're a contender, he'll hold them back. You know, he gets his team to fight hard, much like Bisaccia did. But at the end of the day, he's just outmatched when it comes to the guys that are in the league now. When it comes to the Kellen Moores and the McVays.
I think he had a great supporting cast around him, too. Their defensive and offensive coordinators, those guys, they rallied around. And I think for me, when you have a good coordinator system in place, that takes a lot of the pressure off the head coach. The head coach just has to answer the questions in the media. And you know what I mean? Like, he has to address that kind of shit. He doesn't necessarily have to call the plays or anything like that.
Let's look at it like this. When he took over this job, there was a lot of bullshit going on, but there was zero expectations because of all the bullshit. And then more bullshit, less expectations. Going into next season as a playoff team, now, you know, granted it was a loss, a one and done. Going into next season as a returning playoff team, there's a lot more pressure. Now you're the guy. You're hired, right? You got a contract. Yeah. There's money. It's a very different situation. I don't know that him being the head coach in that situation, he's going to be able to hold up. I guess we're going to find out soon because they're not going to let grass grow underneath this. If they're going to make a move, they're going to have to make a move. Probably will be unpopular amongst many, but a good head coaching hire will change all of that.
Just like the Cowboys, like the offseason starts now, you know? So it's now Monday, and you're now in the 2022 offseason.
Good point by Raiders TJ, too. If Mayock ends up getting canned, which I think is a possibility at this point.
He sucks.
I think that you same thing with the Giants. Like, you're not going to force this coach onto the new GM. It just doesn't add up. Not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mayock, he's the one who took, like, that one defensive lineman in the first round, like, sixth overall. I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, nobody had that. Don't be that guy. Mean, like, don't be the Giants. Don't be the Raiders. Don't be those guys that take these gambles.
Took Henry Ruggs.
They took, well, and
not looking great.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He'll never play another down in the league, ever.
Not looking great.
You know, like, so.
Yeah, I don't think that Bisaccia keeps the job. Dave, you think he does?
I think he's done enough to do that.
I think he has done enough. That's not what I'm asking. Do you think he keeps it?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I have this feeling that they've done enough, and he's a good dude, and he's just a player's coach, and they played, and they rallied, and they were written off, man. The Raiders were done.
Yeah.
And then they made the playoffs.
Speaking of the Raiders being done and writing them off, we're going to do that right now for the 2021 season. So long, Raiders. Moving on to now Joe Burrow, right? Dina, I know you got another Joe Burrow thing.
There we go.
Is Burrow the next Tom Brady?
I compare, and I said this, like Burrow is going to look, he's a great quarterback. He's a great kid. He's got moxie. He's got this confidence about him that you love to hate. If you're not, like, if you're not a, if you're, see me, I want the Bengals now to go the rest of the way. I want the Bengals to win in the AFC, and I want, I'll save my thoughts for the NFC, but I do want Chop Sports to be in a happy mood, so maybe the Packers are, maybe it is Rodgers and Burrow in the Super Bowl, who knows. But as far as Burrow's concerned, I think that the kid's got the confidence. If you build around him, this team, like if that defense gets good and Zach Taylor being the young head coach that maybe once upon a time Bill Belichick was, this could be a marriage that goes a long way.
This is what I'm getting at. And I know that when I made this graphic and this headline, I knew that people were going to be like, well, relax, dude. He's won one playoff game. But when you look at the one playoff game that he's won, they haven't won a playoff game in like 10,000 days. It was Icky Woods. I'm pretty sure Icky Woods was still the running back.
Text message the last time the Bengals won a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow, I agree
that it's way too crazy to say that Joe Burrow is going to go out and win six championships or seven championships. But when you look at the comparisons, like, all right, Zach Taylor is no comparison to Bill Belichick, but Zach Taylor is arguably the coach of the year this year, right? He won it for fucking our dumbass Chop Sports Group, which I think is a joke because
our dumbass Chop Sports Group, ladies
but,
and gentlemen.
Look, when I'm saying, like, look at the comparisons, yeah. I know that Tom Brady didn't have the college career that Joe Burrow did. I know Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick, so those comparisons are a wash. They're out. They don't count.
But can we look at this?
The Tuck rule and the fucking whistle rule.
Right now, I tell you what, if Brady, which I'm assuming he'll probably be rocking in the NFC title game, more than likely, we'll see. If Brady gets there and they show a B-roll, what B-roll is when they go back into time and they just let shit roll. Will you see the Tuck rule game in there? You probably will.
I'm just saying that.
So now, are we going
to
see
Joe Burrow looks like he's got that moxie to be that guy right now that everyone's loving to get behind him, but in a couple years, everyone's going to be tired of seeing him win. I hope that's not the case because I don't want to see any other team win, but if there's that guy, people were talking about Justin Herbert being the guy that's got the juice. Joe Burrow got the juice right now out of that class.
Jackpot Joey, no doubt about it. A lot of fun to watch, man.
I don't think that's up for debate. And Justin taking, Burrow, I would Joe love, Burrow or Justin Herbert, it's all Joe Burrow all day.
I would love to see this young team, do some magic in the playoffs because now, obviously, we'll get into the rest of the games, but their matchup with the Titans is very favorable compared to what they would have had to dealt with if it was Josh Allen and the Bills or Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So they have a nice little road trip schedule for Nashville.
So to answer the question, no. Joe Burrow is not the next Tom Brady. And the comments are ripping me to shreds. That's fine. I'd start with, can Burrow get the Bengals out of playing in the first wild card game? Yeah, he did that.
He did that.
He already did. So now it's division. So,
right. So we'll see.
You're right. They're on the road now. I get where you were going with that.
Ready? No, but they're on the road now. We'll see.
Let's see.
They got to go to Music City. To Nashville next week. So
The AFC playoffs are fucking lit right now.
Oh, it's great. It's great. See, as a football fan now, and I don't have to worry about the Dallas Cowboys sucking the life out of me, I can actually appreciate this.
And I believe Derrick Henry is a 100% go. He's been practicing for two weeks.
Of course.
Now. So if he's not playing, I don't know what they're practicing.
He looks like a beast. My brother said he looked bigger. He watched. He's like, if it was possible, he got bigger.
He's on the Zion Williamson.
No, but a good bigger.
Rehab.
Not a fat bigger. Like a good bigger. Anyway, let's get off of Joe Burrow. Congratulations to them. Another game that. Oof, boy, oh boy, nobody really saw coming the way it played out. Don't say nobody. I mean, did anybody see a Bills blowout? Did you say Bills blowout?
I definitely said Bills blowout.
Did you?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, you should have told me. I would have clipped something up for you. In any event, yeah, I do it for Kyle all the time. So anyway, this game was played in 1 degree weather. And, you know, the once again, it's a weather game, technically. You know, it wasn't the wind that they saw like 3-4 weeks ago when they played on Monday Night Football, but it was shitty. First of all, shout out to all the dads out there that brought their kids to this game. You're out of your minds. I don't even like going to cold weather games. You're going to bring a 7-year-old?
Stop. I've been to some cold weather games.
Yeah,
I played in cold weather games at 8.
My bonus mom, Barry, said to me, she goes, if anybody's going to go to a game like this because they're watching the game, like, who the hell would... She says, Junior would definitely... Talking to me, like, he would definitely go to a game. I was like, after... It took me 8 days to defrost from the 40-degree weather I sat in New York. I'm not going to this shit. You're out of your mind. No way. But in any event, weather aside, Josh Allen is fun. Like, the AFC is going to be... in good hands going forward.
Yeah, Scoop's got a point. Shout out to Ryan Fitzpatrick for showing up to the Bills game shirtless.
Mm-hmm. Now, dude, the legend. I do have a gripe with that. You play for another team, dude. You're under contract with somebody else. And I know Stephon Diggs showed up. to watch his brother play. But what was the point of getting behind Bills Mafia when you were contracted with the Washington football team?
Was he
was all the way downtown in Hammertown, bro. He was not sober. Let the guy live his life.
I'm cool with what happened.
Bro, he played a snap for the Redskins or the football team or the Admirals or the Commanders or the Conquerors or whatever the fuck team name the Redskins are going to be now. But give the guy a break, man. He's just going out and enjoying playoff football.
I just, you know.
If there wasn't a camera in everyone's face every time they did something, it wouldn't be an issue. Let the guy live.
That, oh, listen.
To me, it just adds to the lore of what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He's a legend. Right. He's a cult hero. A true American, what is it? A national treasure.
It is.
And how could you not like Fitzmagic?
I hope Fitzmagic starts for the Cowboys next year. My brother met him at the Cheesecake Factory once upon a time. And he was like,
and I bet you he was cool as shit.
And he said, he's like, once, and we had Romo in his prime. And my brother was like, yo, you want to come like quarterback for the Cowboys? You know, like politicking, trying to be his new agent. But in any event, Josh Allen, super duper in this game, right? Just unbelievable. Running, throwing, does it all. But the big story for me was the look that that grumpy old man had on the sidelines. And I'm talking about Bill Belichick, who's already said, and we'll talk about it in a second, he'll be back next year. He looked miserable. He was the guy where he was just like, he's like, this fucking sucks. I don't want to be here right now. This is just too cold out here. I can't feel my toes.
I hate to break it to you. But if they were up 40 points and they had a camera on Bill Belichick, he would have looked exactly the same. So I'm not going to sit here and crucify the guy for being himself. If you see the graphic that I pulled up for our next conversation, you'll see. It's like you couldn't tell. They probably won by 50 the game that I pulled that picture from. Bill Belichick just doesn't break character. And for that,
Do you think one of his New Year's resolutions was to not lose to the fucking Bills?
I don't think he believes in shit like that.
No, but did you see the press conferences?
No.
2 weeks in a row, two out of 3 weeks, there was some reporter let into the media room in New England. And they're talking about the game, and the Patriots just lost. And one girl's like, hi, I'm from the Globe Gazette or whatever the hell it was. And she's like, I'm doing an article about New Year's resolutions. Do you have any this year? And he's like, get the fuck out of here, lady. Yeah.
Like, Bill Belichick every single day is the same for him.
Maybe I'll address that next week. And the following week was past New Year's. So I was like, this guy is such a legend, dude. He doesn't care.
Yeah, they did throw dildos.
Yes, Danny, bringing in the dildos back to Buffalo.
What was that? Like, I mean, I guess that's a one up on a wrapped pickle. What?
Is that like a thing?
No, it happened last year with the Bills game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it did. Wrapped pickles, it made a return. And dildos.
Size of that thing. You see the size of that thing? My brother still believes, and the things get around fast on the internet. The internet always wins. My brother sent me a picture of it because I missed it. I was probably in my thoughts in my Twitter or whatever. Sends me a picture of the, you know.
Wait, you tweeted yesterday? I didn't see any of them.
That's funny. They should ban me from Twitter after yesterday.
Bro.
What?
You went off on Twitter.
I mean, I do. And look at my following now. This is... there's a method to my madness.
Well, I was tweeting for a little bit, but it was just to myself and Ash and Dina. You're the only people liking my tweets.
And by, like, and by tweeting, you meant like just sending Ash a text from next to you?
No, yeah, but my Twitter. We'll get there one day, guys.
One day. What was I saying? Oh, so Danny texted me a picture of the dildo that was in the freeze frame. So shout I tweeted out to that Danny. Out. I tweeted that out, and all of a sudden he thinks that Big Cat saw it, tweeted it out, and Danny's picture is what Big Cat tweeted out. Maybe. He goes, dude, it's the same hue on the TV screen, like the same positioning, the same thing. I was like, it's possible. Like, I don't know who saw my shit and took it and ran with it.
Did you see Big Cat interviewing Matt LaFleur?
No.
He was like, so I got a question about some situational football. He was like, it's 4th and 9. You're down. You're down 8 points. Right. And he asked him that terrible question that honestly needs to be asked. It has been asked, but it was just funny as hell because you see a guy in like a real serious press conference and then Big Cat comes up and LaFleur knew it right away. He was like, what do you got, Big Cat? Like he knew who he was, obviously.
Oh, great. Not to discredit you talking about LaFleur and stud young coaches. Shout out to our coach of the year, Chop Sports coach of the year, Zach Taylor, who showed up at a bar at the end of the night with the game ball and gave it to the fans and said, this one's for you guys.
That's take notes, cool. Urban
solid.
Meyer.
Solid.
Take notes. Like, that was probably the same bar in Ohio said. That Urban Meyer was at.
Was that the same bar? I said, I don't know. But if anything, Zach Taylor was a good boy that night, and he gave the game ball out. But anyway, back to this game. So Bill Belichick, he looked like he was just not well, not happy. The cold and the heat do affect the elderly more.
I love
a
sore loser anyway. I have no issue with that.
What?
like if somebody doesn't want, if somebody looks disgusted after a loss, what do you want them to look like? Happy? You know, good for Bill Belichick for keeping it consistent. And his 70-year-old ass, you could pull up the graphic, Dina. Bill Belichick obviously will return next season. He did say previously that he had no plans to coach into his 70s. That was about two years 70? Ago. He'll be 70 in April. So
holy.
Come draft season, Bill Belichick will be, obviously, he's the longest tenured head coach. I mean, he's got to be getting up there in history. I know that there's some Steelers coaches that have been there forever.
What, as far as oldest coaches to coach in the NFL?
No, just the longest tenured coach.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Maybe back in the day there was guys that coached a while. Bro, he got the job in like 99. But he's been... Yeah, he turned down the Jets job. Years. It was
no. He accepted the Jets job.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And
he burned that bridge right away, and then beat him 54 times in the next 26 seasons.
Correct,
27 seasons. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, Bill Belichick will be back next year. Does that mean that Josh McDaniels is gone, or does Josh McDaniels stick around
they're
for
like,
another year?
I don't like think, peanut butter and jelly over there. I think
the Patriots staff will probably get Flores back, right? So we're going to look for the Patriots to regroup and be back next year for no reason whatsoever, because they had no business with that roster being where they were at. And
I'll ask you a question. Did anybody? Do you think that the Bills will run this division for the next couple years to come?
I mean, as we look at the optics of it, they should, but there's always that they were a game away from losing it this year, so they should have the division on lock for the most part.
Can you imagine if that team gets an actual running game?
Do you realize what the course of four seasons, three seasons, half a decade, a lot of things could go down? You know, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. If all things go chalk, yeah, the Bills should be in good shape because they got some young talent and that quarterback is there to stay. Shout out to Josh Allen splitting out in the wild, out wide when one of the Wildcat plays, and he like looks to the quarterback. He's like, "Thumbs up, I'm ready to go." Josh Allen's just fun to watch. You said it before. Hopefully, yeah, like I said, the AFC playoffs is lit. We get the Chiefs and the Bills coming up. I'm very excited.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
What do we got next?
It's Tampa Bay in this game that we don't need to spend too much time on. It's probably the worst game of the weekend because even in the blowouts that we watch,
plenty of Tampa Bay talk coming up.
Yeah, but even in the blowout losses, like even the Bills, the story was the Bills just did great, and the Chiefs, what they did, we'll talk about them in a second. They did great, but this game, the Eagles looked like they did not belong. Jalen Hurts, look, you guys already went on record saying that's your boy, that's your guy. Well, there's something about him that makes me feel like he can't lead a winning team either. Like, the Eagles beat up, just like Dallas, the Eagles beat up a lot of bad teams this year, and now they ran into a buzzsaw known as Tom Brady, and it looked like they were in just two different leagues, man. Two different leagues. This game was over from the rip. And that's exactly what a lot of the analysts said before the game. I think it was Coach Cower said, if the Eagles go down 14-plus early, they don't have the capabilities to come back, and they did not. And this game was a runaway.
What you saw was Tampa Bay getting healthy on defense, and it showed. Because Philly, all the talk about their run game didn't do jack shit. And you can't do anything when you're down that big to Tom Brady early. But Levante David came to play. Shaquille Barrett had a pick. I didn't know that he was going to play or not. And he's obviously back ready to go. So Tampa Bay now, obviously they stumbled in. And everybody was talking about their injuries. And they are depleted at wideout. But they do have Gronk still. They do have Mike Evans still. And out of nowhere, like a Tom Brady-esque team, they get two running backs. Gio Bernard has himself a fucking career day in the playoffs. Keyshawn Vaughn, who everybody was thinking, including myself, that when Fournette was out, maybe Ronald Jones will get some burn and he'll be that guy. But no, they split it around to other guys. And Tampa Bay, man, as much as I hate to admit it, they're a scary team again. Their defense is playing better again at the right time.
Tom Brady is doing this now with less again. It seems like this is like a Patriots team where like all of a sudden they had no actual number ones. But anyway, Kyle coming in. Wasn't there some idiot who came on the show and guaranteed the Eagles would win? Yeah, I don't know who that guy was. Hopefully he never comes back. But Kyle, you're more than welcome to come back for another Lean Friday.
There's another
and
idiot.
Bounce back there's from another what you
idiot
just did.
That, there's another idiot that faded himself because I couldn't let Kyle come on our show and give a guarantee.
So that's why we tied in the picks, yeah. Because you picked the Eagles to win this game, or at least cover the number.
Across the board and every other thing that I did, Scoop could attest to this because it's his pool. I definitely picked Tampa.
Yeah. But. Well, I don't. Somebody came in and said that this was a successful season for the Eagles. I don't know about that. You know, and I made a point yesterday. It was obviously before the Cowboys bullshit that the Eagles actually rested their starters in week 18. So they were fully rested and recovered for a game like this. And none of them can show up. Where was Devontae Smith? Where were all these guys that all of a sudden you had? So now, here's the best part. Eagles fans are getting excited because they have three first round picks next year, right? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The Eagles have not historically done very well with any of their draft picks outside of Devonta Smith, who just so happens to look okay, still feel like he's undersized, not sure if he's going to turn into a DeSean Jackson one-trick pony type guy. We'll see. That remains to be seen. I think he's a baller. I think he's good.
I think that when you're looking at what the Eagles were able to do this year, considering where they were projected to do, I think making the playoffs is a success for that team. No such thing as a successful playoff game when you lose, but when you look back as a whole, first-year head coach, Jalen Hurts getting the keys to the car for the first time. Very, very depleted talent-wise on the offensive side of the ball. They didn't really have a running game to speak of as far as Miles Sanders did not live up to expectations. Gainwell was good in spurts, but they didn't have that bell cow back. I would say that Philly kind of exceeded expectations. And going into next year with three first-round picks, yeah, they haven't done well. But they do have $60 million or $70 million in cap space. That's before the increase in the salary cap. So Philly isn't in the worst spot. If there is a team that's going to challenge Dallas going forward, you have to admit that's probably them.
I mean, look, people like, you build around Jalen Hurts? I don't know, man. I mean, look, probably what they're going
to
do.
They have no choice at this point to try and build around Jalen Hurts. They're committed to him. They made that decision. And the front office, unless they're going to fire a bunch of guys right now and move on, but let's be real, Jalen Hurts is not Daniel Jones.
Straight up.
He deserves a chance.
Joe Halula comes back and says, hopefully they left Rager in Tampa Bay. Now, remember, here we go. Ready? That was a first-round pick that the Eagles made over Justin Jefferson. I also want to bring up a stat that I read right before the broadcast, that Henry Ruggs had more receiving yards than Jalen Rager this year. Henry Ruggs was thrown in jail in week 8.
You got big news out of Cincinnati. Their starting defensive tackle is put on IR, missing the season. That's one of their strengths on defense, is stopping the run. That's going to be big.
Ooh, that's
going up against Derrick Henry.
Oh, boy. All right, well.
Healthy or not, Derrick Henry is still just.
Hurts can't throw the ball. He's a running back playing quarterback. All right, so i.e., he's Lamar Jackson, just a little less, I think. I think Lamar Jackson's better than Jalen Hurts because of the shiftiness, and he looks like a human highlight reel. But Jalen Hurts is.
Bro. Lamar Jackson's got a league MVP under his belt. He's got
players. And I don't think that Jalen Hurts could win a league MVP is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I don't think so either.
He won't even sniff the conversation.
But that doesn't mean that he shouldn't get an opportunity. He was drafted to be the guy. I don't think that the small sample size that they've gotten to see out of him is enough to make that distinction whether he's great or not great.
I guess we'll see.
He's going to be good. Compare him to a young Donovan McNabb. Took a little
don't
time.
Don't do that to McNabb.
I'm not saying that he's going to be as good as McNabb, but McNabb had a rough go of it early in Philly, too.
I mean, they booed him on draft day.
So
but let's leave it up to Philly to do that. Anyway, we got Keith Binding coming in. Show Jalen Hurts his true colors. He isn't. I missed it. He misses reads. Drafting Kenny Pickett. Give Hurts competition in training camp.
I'm not opposed to them drafting another quarterback to make it a competition. I think all NFL players, and quarterbacks included, need to have thicker skin and understand that you got to go out and earn it. There's some guys in the league that are clear-cut starters, but Jalen Hurts, while I do think he deserves a shot, he's not clear-cut the guy. No way.
Not so much a bold prediction, but I think Pickett doesn't make it past Pittsburgh.
I will say this. All of the Minshew talk, I think that was a little dumb. No offense to anybody that texted me. I'm talking to a few of you.
Somebody said put him in you?
Not to say that it was stupid at the time, because given the situation, they were down 17 and they were getting nothing going. But in general, Gardner Minshew is a backup quarterback. Let's stop calling this guy anything more than that. He's an exciting player to watch. He's a fun character off the field, but he's just simply what he is. He's a backup quarterback. He did well in Jacksonville because they had nothing to lose. Putting him in a situation where there's going to be pressure and he's got to win football games, he's not going to carry any teams. No way.
I never, how can Hurts throw the ball? Overthrow. I'm not saying every quarterback in the league right now has a big arm. It's all about accuracy and putting it on the receivers. There's plenty of balls that he couldn't throw.
I wouldn't say everybody has a big arm.
Who doesn't have a big arm?
Big Ben, Mac Jones.
He's 50 years old,
Jimmy
man.
Jimmy G
probably could lace it. Who knows?
Doesn't have a big arm.
All right. In any event, it's over for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bucs move on. They'll be playing the winner of tonight's game, which we'll get to in a second. One last game, and this is unfortunate for Steeler fans out there. I know there's a couple representing here in the chat, or at least, were in the chat. They didn't know if they were going to hang on for dear life until the end. But the Chiefs absolutely destroy the Steelers. This game had a different feel in the first half when TJ Watt scores that touchdown. I'm like, oh, baby, here we go. And then vintage Mahomes, underhand and balls, behind the back, or blindfolded, yeah. Whatever the frick he does.
Did you see the stat that Pat Mahomes put up yesterday?
No.
Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday.
Last night.
Yeah, after he threw the pick, or was it a fumble?
It was like
a TJ Watt thing.
Oh, no, he wasn't in the game. It was an RPO when the running back had the ball. And he tried to give it off. So it was just
either way. So after the Steelers touchdown, Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns in a span of 10 minutes and 32 seconds of football, shattering the previous NFL record set by, obviously, Tom Brady, who was like 5 touchdowns in 20 minutes of football. 5 touchdowns in 10 minutes?
10 game minutes or 10 real minutes?
10 game minutes.
Okay. Fuck. At 9 o'clock, he had none, but at 9:10, he had 5. Look, Patrick Mahomes is just... he's all world. We all knew this. The Chiefs started off real slow and sloppy in the beginning of the year, and everybody's like, "Well, Chiefs are done." You know, like then they rip off the entire winning streak. They beat the shit out of everybody they played, and then all of a sudden, Mahomes gets to the playoffs. He turns back into playoff Mahomes, vintage shit, underhand, behind the back, like I just said.
And I got
Travis Kelce has a fucking touchdown pass.
You got to give credit to the Steelers because they did come out and did what they had to do. They were just not as good. Simple as that.
At the end of the day,
they came out and they tried. They had the ball 5 times in the first quarter. The defense forced turnovers. They got in Mahomes' face. They scored a defensive touchdown to start the scoring off. It just like when you run into a team like the Chiefs where you can't even put them away being up 3 scores. You saw what they did with the Texans and Deshaun Watson a couple years back. They were down 21-0 right away. There's no lead safe against that team, specifically in the postseason, unless you're Tampa Bay.
So now Big Ben, obviously calling it quits. You would think. That seems to be it. I don't think he's going to hold a clipboard anywhere. It seems to be that was his final ride. To me, first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubts in my mind. Yeah, you can question his...
I think he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Whether I like the guy
That's what I'm saying.
Not,
whether you like his personality or what's happened in the past,
he's
still a Hall of Famer. Clear-cut
first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so that's not even remotely close to a conversation to have. He's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer.
Plus, I just want to make a point. I'm not saying that the Steelers played great defense the entire game. I'm saying they came out firing.
Oh, yeah, of course. And that set a tone. There was a tone set.
They're just not good enough to play with the Chiefs
now
in Kansas City in the playoffs.
Here's where I'm at now. I know my brother way before, not it was long ago, he put up a point. He said, get rid of these 7 seeds right away. Would you write them off, Gooch? Considering how both 7 seeds did. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers both completely didn't show up, technically.
No, there's...
At the end of the day, they got starched, both of them.
Can we go back to normal? Let's look at how often the 6 seed wins. Probably not often. You know, so... Are we gonna get rid of them too?
The 2 seed a bye.
Yeah, but maybe that's what we needed to get off of, because I think that getting the 1 seed, and I know that I'm the 1 seed, so I could talk like that, but getting the 1 seed, I think you should earn the bye, and the other team should have to play to get to you. You know, like, what's the real caveat to winning the 1 seed or the 2 seed? Like, you see teams that didn't really care about that. I think it should matter, and it does matter. I don't necessarily like the extra team, per se, because it's just a little easier to get in the postseason. I don't think it gives it a bad look.
Because look, there's only 16 teams in the conference, and you're almost half of them make the playoffs now.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, because I don't think, like you said,
it's like participation awards.
But we will see a team knock off a 2 seed eventually. That's going to happen. You know that, right?
I don't know.
Remember Oral Roberts?
Never. You know, there's teams that
Oral Roberts, Kyle.
There's teams that won the Super Bowl as a 6 seed. Me being one of them. The Giants, one of them. The Steelers, another one. And it's all happened fairly recently. So I don't think that you need to get rid of the team. Like, always going to be adding more things. So just get used to that. Where there's going to be more games. There might even be more playoff teams. There might even be more NFL teams in a couple years.
Scoop's coming in. That's the NBA and NHL. I know. 8 out of whatever. Like, that's half the league. And I always disagreed with that. Because, I mean, that means if you're in the Eastern Conference in the NBA, if you have a subpar season and you, like, finish a game or two under 500, that you could be the 8 seed. I was like... wait, what? Like, come on. You had such a shitty year. That's not a good year. You're rewarded by getting beat up. I mean, we're not going to talk NBA today because you're so NFL driven, but is Durant's out? Is that, I'm reading that? Yeah,
Durant,
6 weeks?
Durant's going to be done for a little bit.
Well, in any event, maybe they'll fall to and stay at 2 so the Knicks can get 7 and then the 7 seed will take out the 2 seed.
The Nets aren't really equipped to deal with losing Kevin Durant. They don't have
we'll
a
see.
Depth
we'll
like
see.
That.
We'll get into that tomorrow.
The 2 is far cry.
And look, Anand, I get it, man. He came in and says the NFL is all about making money. I get it. That extra playoff team, that extra playoff game. Look, we have a game tonight. Because it is
shit. I'm not upset about it. Look, those are the types of things where I look at it, I ask myself, like, okay, does this actually bother me? Not really. Nothing I could do about it.
I mean, to me, it's just extra football, so yeah, it's great.
Acceptance is key when it comes to the NFL because they're going to do what they want.
Gooch, we got one more game to play tonight, and that is the Los Angeles Rams favored at home.
Who earns the right to take on Tampa Bay?
Yeah, who's going to go to Tampa Bay and take on Brady? Who gives Brady the most fits? You know, I found one quote funny For whatever reason, WFAN shared a Odell Beckham quote heading into this game saying that, like, hey, you know, or how does Beckham feel? And he's like, this is what you work hard for all year long. And I'm like, dude, you got there like 8 days ago. Like, everybody calm down. You were bitching and moaning with Baker Mayfield halfway through the season. Calm down
that. I will say Odell is a very, very big reason why they won that division.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You give him a very, very big,
very, very big reason. Them losing Robert Woods, if they didn't lose Woods, I think Odell was pretty much a non-factor in terms of making that team that much better, because I just don't think that there's enough to go around. But them losing Robert Woods, Odell has come up with some big touchdowns for that team. So, yeah, Odell is a key piece.
We've been calling the Cardinals we've been calling the Cardinals frauds the entire season, right? What's gonna happen now? Like, do you think that they have a chance whatsoever? Are we about to get a cameo?
Ash is gonna pass by me, but
make sure you wave, Ash, when you go by.
Anything, you could pop your head in.
Say, hey, everybody, hey, Ash Rare Fit, there she is, ladies and gentlemen, in the flesh. She got more camera time than our producer.
That is okay.
Any event, but in this game in particular, I like the Rams. I'll pick them right now, right off the rip. Like, I think the Rams are much more equipped to make a run in this season. I like McVay over. I like the kid down in I can't think of his name off the top of my head. The coach of the Cardinals.
Kingsbury.
I like that matchup better. I like McVay to outcoach him. I like the Rams defense to come up big. I see a lot of, in my mind, I see a lot of boohoo Kyler Murray coming out of this game. And I think the Rams and the Bucks. That's a good game. It's a good game. And there's a lot of, and it's time for Stafford to get off the schneid. You know, Stafford doesn't have a playoff win in his career. It's time. You know, it's time for him to get it done with a better team and a better coach than what he's had his entire career. And that's that. So that's where I'm going with that one. I think that they are definitely overmatched. The Cardinals are, again, you know, they kind of blew it. They had the one seed pretty much going into Christmas, it felt like. You know what I mean? And they just kind of folded like we all thought they would. And then next thing you know, now they're on the road in the wild card game. I don't feel like this will play out good for Arizona. What say you, bro?
I think Arizona was like the first or second team to get 10 wins.
They are good on the road, though. I will say that.
The Cardinals are good on the road. Uh-huh. And the Rams don't really have much of a home field advantage because it's L.A. and nobody cares about anything in L.A. Except robbing trains, apparently, which that's another topic. but yeah, I don't think that Arizona travels well, though. So I don't think that it's going to matter. I don't think that the home field advantage is going to be an issue or a non-issue. I think that the Matthew Stafford exercising his playoff demons, I think that's about to happen finally. Not because the Rams are just that much better or Stafford is better, but I just think that Kingsbury and the Cardinals and Murray are just where the Rams were a couple years ago. I know that doesn't make sense, but these teams that they get there, it takes a little bit to get over the hump. I almost kind of was alluding to that with the Cowboys and saying it's like, all right, they're getting there, but it takes a little bit more. You have to taste defeat in the playoffs. The Cardinals are about to taste defeat in the playoffs.
You think Dallas losing was a good thing for that team?
No, because I think there's going to be a lot of changes with the staff. So to keep some solidarity and I guess how do you cohesiveness is the word I'm looking for.
Good word going forward,
and you having that bitter taste in your mouth, it might play well for you in the future. I just think that the Rams are in that position now. They made the changes. They got Matthew Stafford. They lost to Green Bay in the playoffs last year. I believe it was 1-and-done, right?
Who?
Rams? Rams?
Yes.
Or did they beat Dallas? No, Dallas. That was a couple years ago. But anyway, I just think that the Rams
and the Dallas' failures.
Matthew Stafford needed the Rams to get over the playoff hump. The Rams needed Matthew Stafford to win some playoff games. They are a perfect match.
Do you think there's anything to a Cardinals loss and Kingsbury?
I think Kingsbury has a chance to leave for college, yes, if there was a job.
But which not,
I
don't he's not going to get is. Fired. He would just leave.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be this season, though, no.
Okay,
because
all the jobs are taken.
Except for I do think Kingsbury will be coaching in college again, and the Cardinals aren't going to win this game, and they're not going to cover.
All right, so we're both on the Rams tonight. We have one more game to play, and then officially starting tomorrow, Gooch, you're on the clock, bro. You get yourself a playoff week to prepare for. Congratulations to that. You got to sit back, relax, and watch football, and you watched your co-owner of Job Sports just completely fail out, and that's what happened. So I'm glad. I'm very happy to be a part of this.
They want score predictions here.
For which one?
Win all day. Go Pack, go. I know Win all day is it.
Wait. We're getting score positions for what game?
He wants us to give score predictions for this game. There's still one more playoff game that we played, the one that we just talked about.
Oh, all right. Score predictions. Give me the Rams covering the 3. So give me the Rams to score Cardinals defense is all right. Give me 24-20.
30-20.
All right, there you go. There's the two scores. 24-20. Both
Odell
numbers.
Odell has himself a day, and Cam Akers gets himself on the board. That's the thing that nobody's really talking about. Cam Akers, I think he's going to be fully healthy. They gave him a go last week. They gave him a little bit of burn to see if he was ready to go.
A guy who tore his
Achilles. Shout out to Cam Akers, man.
Torn Achilles, bro.
I know Sony Michel's been doing well for them, but Cam Akers is a special talent.
But Sony Michel is also very good at spelling. You know what I mean? Not like spelling like words. I'm talking about spelling the running back. You know what I mean? Like on a third down, Michelle comes in, gets a dump out of the backfield, go, go, go. He's not won any spelling bees from what I've gathered in my my sources have said he's not won any spelling bees. Dave is wrong. But in any event, this show has been loaded. It's been long. The first 30 minutes were my thoughts, and there's so many more actually. But again, you won't hear those here because I can't beat a dead horse. The Dallas Cowboys season is over. I now look forward to more playoff football tonight. I look more, forward to more playoff football also next weekend. One more shout out to the return of the Pick Bish, who cleaned up on UFC's card the other night. Good job. And we have UFC to talk about coming up. I mean, we got some of that. What's this guy's coming back to fight for the heavyweight title? So he's coming back.
Ngannou against Cyril Gane.
That's this week.
That's Saturday.
Yeah, baby. So we got UFC to talk about. Hopefully the blockout ends soon. We got the Knicks playing better basketball. They play today at 1 o'clock. We're going to throw it on the big screen in the middle. If you want to come on down, watch the Knicks on Martin Luther King Day, don't do that. Don't bother because I'm in no mood to see anybody.
Locking the door.
The Knicks go at 1 o'clock. The Rangers still balling out and they're doing their thing. There's a lot to talk about this week. We are on to the divisional round starting tomorrow. So thank you guys. If you watch this show today, please like the video. Please subscribe to the channel. We hit a surge on all the subscriptions. I could talk.
Subs.
That's why I should have just said subs. We hit a nice little surge on those. So thank you guys for doing that. Like the video. Make it make sense. It helps with the search. And yeah, man, this has been it's been fun. Talking Dallas Cowboys since the draft last year. It was April. The hype was there. The regular season was there. We won a bunch of games. Went 12-5. It's such a bullshit way to go, but it's over. And that'll be it for my Dallas Cowboys. What's up?
Shout out to the New York Yankees signing Rodrick Arias, the shortstop out of, I'm not sure, but I think the Dominican Republic. Okay. Most likely. I think he's Dominican.
Oh, also shout
17-year-old switch hitting shortstop. And
I'm good. I didn't say anything.
Wait, what are you going to talk shit about Kenny Levine?
No. Wait, what do you mean?
He's annoying.
He told me to wear a Ranger hat, and I said, yeah, I got to get him.
What he fucking said. All right, he's annoying to me. What else did I have? Oh, yeah, the revenge tour starts now. Welcome to Green Bay 49ers and then Tampa Bay. Let's do this, baby.
It is playoff week. Let's go. Thank you guys for joining us on the Chop Sports Daily for Sturch and Goosh production, Pick Bish, Dina Simpson, and of course, Ashmere Fit in the other room who is joining and sitting in and just had enough of us and said, I'm done with you guys. I got to go. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. Come on back next week. Come on back tomorrow because we do this every day. 11 o'clock. Tell your friends that we're better than everybody else. All those talking heads. Screw Dan Orlovsky. Screw Sam Acho. Screw Gio. Screw all these guys. Chop Sports where it's at. Tell all your friends, folks. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you, boys and girls, for tuning in. See you tomorrow.